I didn't say this the first time, but I really appreciate the fact that the mic works. I appreciate the opportunity. I feel like God gives us all gifts, and I'm so excited now that I actually know him that I get to share them and shine his light out into the world. And so I just want to take this a few moments to encourage everybody with a story about myself and a story, you know, and a way for you guys to come away from this strengthened through him. And so I lived a life for myself, as all non-believers do. We live a life thinking that the world owes us something and that we're all just in it to get something, and we're all just, you know, people that don't believe. I'm going to just speak for myself, but when I didn't believe, it was always just this check and balance system of, you know, well, what did they say to me, and how does that affect me, and was that considerate to me, being my own? I was acting as my own God, basically. And that's what non-believers are doing. And that's why this world is so sick and these hearts are so sick. This fallen world is that we need that turned way down. Probably related. Sorry about that. So a cut to the chase. June comes. I pick up the Bible. I don't even know why I have it, but I'm there on my couch and I'm reading it. And I start to realize through just reading the accounts of the resurrection that you know, the accounts of the resurrection, the fact that Jesus showed himself to over 500 people over a 40-day time span, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, these things are written about during the lifetime of most of the people that saw him and experienced him after his resurrection. I'm thinking, this is refutable, and even though it's refutable, no one's ever refuted it. I've never heard an account of someone saying, no, that didn't happen, I didn't see him. No. That along with many things led me to just a general realization that the resurrection was real. That was the first step. When I realized that, I said this the first time, I'm going to say it again, God saw me seeing him. I saw him seeing me seeing him. Okay? And it was a moment I'll never forget. No one forgets when they're officially saved, okay? And just tears, obviously, just tears. Like, I had been saved. I had experience with Jesus before, but I didn't know him. I didn't know that prayer was real. I didn't know that the book was real, that the things that were inside of it were God's word. I didn't know any of this. I was a professing Christian, but I wasn't a Christian. But in that moment, I met his gaze, and I realized in that moment that he wasn't on a cloud somewhere, that he was right there, and it totally changed my life. I had been struggling with depression. I'd been struggling with dependencies on certain substances and certain habits that I was doing that, you know, I was just, my flesh was in control of me. And those just vanished. And it was over a couple of day period, you know, that I kind of struggled with it. I had to maintain that focus, that truth that I just found. I had to maintain focus on that. And he just set up camp inside of me, and this fire that's burning inside of me that still is, and this light that is surrounding me, it just eliminated all guilt, shame, condemnation from my past was all washed away. And it was just, you know this as being Christians, you know that's what being born again is. It's not being a slave to your flesh anymore. It's having an awareness that he's real and that now you're living for him through his spirit out into the world. And so kind of an encouragement that I wanted to give everybody is just to keep pressing in. I have this awareness now of unlimited possibility of relationship. I mean, we tend to put God on a shelf, and then every Sunday we get him back out, and that's not what he wants. He wants us to press in and be sanctified through his word. And so what happens is, and I'll just say a few more things before I sing my song, is that, and I can feel it now, and I'm a baby Christian, baby. I know I am, because the growth that's happening inside of me as I read his word and it becomes a part of me, it's like a one step back, two steps forward thing. And when you don't pick up his word, it's like a two steps back, one step forward thing, which is not good. And so if I know that guilt, shame, and condemnation is back here, and he is forward through his word, I'm going to press forward, and I want that for all of us. And I want us to share that out in the world too, that's how growth happens. And so that's what I wanted to share with you, and I really appreciate you taking time and to listen.
And I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all. You still call me friend. For the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. turned bones into armies. You turned seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can.
Morning. I just love coming up after Chris, because the passion that he shares in his story is the passion that I want people to share their stories about camp with, and because that's why camp exists, is for life change, and we see it all the time. And so just to hear that story just renews that. Even though we haven't seen campers at camp for months now, that's still the call, is to change lives for Jesus. So, and tell our story. And that's why I appreciate following after Chris, because he's telling the story, which is what God calls us to do, and that's what he's called me to do for camp. And so I want to share just a snippet of the camp story with you today, and just hopefully give you an idea of kind of where camp's at and what God's got going on, and why I'm so excited for when we get to the other side of whatever this is, because in my mind, my human mind, I see God prepping camp for something amazing. And hopefully by the end of the day, you'll see that, and you'll see why I'm so excited for what's next for camp. So let me pray, and then we'll get started. Lord, I thank you for people like Chris that are willing to share their story, and I just pray that the story of camp comes across loud and clear. Your story of camp comes across loud and clear. And that we just are able to see you through everything that's going on. I just thank you for this opportunity to come and build relationships and just share what you're doing and who you are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. When I think of camp, I think of stories. Like, people come home from camp and they've got stories. And they want to tell those stories. And so that's what I hope to do today, is just tell you some of those stories. The first part of that story is that the camp story has one author, and that author is God. And you can see it from the very, very beginning, that all of these stories tie together to the big story that God's telling at camp. And we just get to be part of this chapter or this part. You know, you got some books have part one, part two, part three. Well, we're in one of those parts right now with lots of chapters. And so to think about God telling that story, it goes back to the very beginning. I don't know when this picture was taken, but the cool thing is on the higher resolution, which I don't know why I can't get it to come in, but I think there's antlers in the backs of those trucks, you know? And the old water tower, that tower stood until the early 80s. And so I'm glad that's not there now, because I would have to convince Josh to climb that ladder, and I don't think he would. but the point of this is there's lots of stories here, and there's lots of stories that are lost. Lots of camp stories that are just lost to time, which is sad, but it sure is fun to look and try to make them up. There's a few still out there. There's a woman who has come to camp, and she was one of the last classes that actually attended school at Camp Elkanah, which is a really cool thing. And she was telling me all these crazy stories, which our hope is that we can compile some of these and get a better history of camp. But we got lost stories. But God, from the beginning, the deed for camp, God said, in the paperwork, it says, if camp is not used for the furtherance and development of Christian education and principles and to improve the physical well-being of the youth, the property goes back to the original owners, which was Mount Emily Lumber Company at the time, which is Boise Cascade now. So even from the very beginning, God said, if you're not using this place for my glory, I don't want anything to do with it. And so that's our goal as we move forward, is how can we use this for God's glory? The best thing is camper stories. Those are the best stories, because they come with the most enthusiasm, and they come back and they're telling stories. Unfortunately, this year, we're kind of silent on the camper stories. But I want to show you a few pictures that hopefully represent a couple camper stories. This one, I love this one of these four boys as they went down the slip and slide together. Oh, there's five. that guy right there. The slip and slide's the scariest thing to me. The rock wall, not scary. It's the slip and slide because they're going down. There's kids at the bottom. It's like bowling pins and they're slamming into each other. But they love it. And they come home with great stories. This guy here, he's got a story. He's on the giant swing and he's just pulled the cord that releases him from safety. And now he's free falling through the air. This young lady, about three quarters of the way up a rock wall. So she's about 30 feet in the air right now. She comes home with a story. But down here at the bottom, there's these two guys. This is our old assistant director, Landon, and our camp pastor, Matt Carpenter, and his daughter. And there's a story there. Because they're not just standing there watching this girl. I know those two are talking about something. And usually they're scheming something. And so these are God's got stories. But the greatest story for me at summer camp is these stories. Because this is why we're there. To take our young adults that are counselors and staff members and to pair them up with these young kids and to give the counselors the skills to feel this comfortable, to get this close to a kid and share the gospel, whatever that looks like, whether it's through crafts or whether it's through games. But this is why we do camp, to build those relationships and to invest not only in the campers, but to invest in our staff, to give them that confidence. Now this year we were less than a week before our start date, and there was an outbreak at a church in La Grande. And we said, we don't want to go through that and be on the front page of the paper. So we said, time out to camp. But I had about 20 staffers up there. And we were going through our staff training week. And it was Wednesday, and we pulled the plug. And I said, you know what, guys? It's now staff. We've gone from staff training week to staff camp week. And so we took the last 3 days of that week and we poured into the lives of our staffers. We used them as free labor and we got some trail projects started and some other projects started and finished. But we also took some really, really great time to worship and to just seek the Lord and just give them an experience that hopefully they won't forget. And I've had staff members come and say, that was a great week. I was able to leave the world and just go and seek God and see what he wanted for my life. Even to take the pressure of the camps that are coming up, because they get stressed with camps coming up. And so to take that pressure away and just give them 3 or 4 days where they could just praise the Lord and seek him for their lives was really cool. So camp wasn't lost this year. I know there was a lot of people that were disappointed, but know that at camp, these folks got poured into and they had a good experience. But we're hoping, please, next year we'll have a camp of some kind. To that, we have a full-time staff, live there year-round at camp, and we, during this summer, so summer camp ended, staff camp ended, and then it was crickets at camp. There was nothing. I had one person that wanted to stay on and do some work for me. I said, okay, well, the lawn needs watered and mowed, and the more you water it, the more you can mow it, so you kind of get to pick how much you work. They were up there, but other than that, I'd go up once a week, and that was it for camp, which was really sad for many reasons, most of which are rodents. In case if you want to know more about that, talk to Josh and Caitlin. But it gave us a chance to transition and transition well. We transitioned out of a model where we had two interns and an assistant director, and we transitioned into the model of a site manager and a guest services and programming coordinator. And so that's been a huge step for camp. Because now that site manager can have some longevity and have some continuity of knowledge. So if the pipe breaks, he doesn't have to explain how the pipe broke or where it broke or how you shut it off or all that stuff to the person who comes the next year. He just remembers and he goes and does it. So it's a lot easier to not lose stuff in the stories. And so we have a site manager and we also have a guest services and program. And that's a huge load off me because now I'm not trying to run camp and program. I now have someone who's dedicated to do programming. We're hoping to do a December 19th Christmas at Camp event, a day where you just come up and experience camp in the wintertime and just do some Christmas stuff. So Caitlin will tell you more about that. But the ability to do that is now there because we have a position dedicated to that, which we haven't had in the past. So we're really excited for the new model with Josh and Caitlin that God brought to camp. And that's the only way I can explain it to you. I'm going to steal a little bit of your thunder again. You okay with it? Okay. Because I am so excited for Josh and Caitlin. Josh grew up in a construction family. So he has a construction background. I grew up on a farm, and I know that my dad used me as free labor, so I can only imagine how Josh got used in the construction world as free labor. So he took that and he said, I want to be a project manager. So he went to school and got a bachelor's in project management, which is great. There's lots of projects at camp. But he realized through that he really likes people. And he couldn't really interact with very many people in his project management, so he went and got his paramedics license. So now I have a project manager with a paramedics license who's my site manager up at camp, which is great. When he was in college, he decided that he wanted to be a river rafting guide. So he has river rafting guide experience, which is where he met Caitlin, his wife, who is also a river raft guide. And she went to school and got her bachelor's in teaching. So I have a paramedic project manager and a teacher up at camp now living there. And Caitlin's the project manager. Caitlin is the programming and guest services coordinator. So thinking about outdoor school and what a big ministry that is for camp now, to have a science teacher as my programming coordinator really makes me excited. So I'm going to give them a few minutes to come up. They want to share a little bit about their story and how God kind of moved in the background. And then I'll come back and finish up with the rest of the camp story.
Test. There we go. So, Joe, after I get the slip and slide repaired, we're going to have some new protocols with kids and bowling ball pins. Both those things make me cringe, the project and, well, you know. So, I'm really happy to be here this morning with my wife and family and Joe and with everybody here. This is just a huge opportunity in this job to go out to many churches and meet many fellow believers and see how you guys sing, how you guys share stories and testimonies. And this is the second time this morning that we're here. And so this morning, get your name? Chris's, your story really touched me. And that's the paramedic side of me. I love helping people and seeing them in vulnerable and honest moments, and I'm taking that to camp now in that big step towards ministry, and hoping to reach out to people spiritually. So again, I was touched the second time by your music this time, and so you kind of gave me the right phrase to express to everybody just how powerful God is and how he can transform each and every one of us and daily, right? But the broken pieces of my life. And so I look back, college, going to construction management, going to the outdoor program and learning different skills there through becoming a paramedic and my walk with Christ, you know, is at varying levels, you know, depending on the day. And I'm thankful that God is loving and full of grace, and that even in the times of my life when I wasn't necessarily focused on him as much as I could be, he was still preparing me for something bigger. And it's really exciting to have that happen, to have God take the broken pieces of your life and transform it into what he wants you to do. And it becomes very real when you experience that. And so to hear a testimony of somebody who's changed and really feels God's love, it's God first fixes us, and that outpouring of love can then fix their relationships or make relationships closer than they ever have been in your home, and then they can go into your community. And for my family, it's taken us to Camp Elkanah, and it's just, man, it's awesome. There's I hear a testimony, and I get really pumped up, and I'm just like, just picture a dam holding back, you know, the waters, and the waters are God's love. And sometimes I have difficulty figuring out how to just blow the dam up and just spread God's love. And there's just that powerful surge within me, and I think you feel it now, and it's awesome. It just needs people up at camp. So, but today I get to share God's love with you guys, and I hope through us being here today that you can share that love in your community with each other, because COVID is affected everybody, and just remember, people need to hear from each other and share that love, but then also bring it back to camp. I hope to see all these churches that have supported camp over the years. I'd love to see your guys' hands back there, and seeing camp growing and thriving and reaching more people. But there's a connection there, and that's what we're here today, is to reconnect with you guys, and hopefully see you guys, some of you or all of you, back up there someday, because it's an amazing place. It changes lives. So, okay. This is my wife, Caitlin. We kind of had a speech that would kind of go together, but now I just kind of go, here you go. And she does amazing things, and I'm just so thankful for her.
So, he gets to tell the warm, fuzzy part of camp, and I come in as mom and tell the more practical part of this. But we first got exposed to Camp Elkanah through 15 Section Camp. We led the Awana group in Boardman, where we were from, and we had a really great life in Boardman, but as there's lots of kids in here, so I'm sure you guys can appreciate that I was online, like, summer camp needs to happen. Like, I need to get rid of my children. So what I found instead was a job posting, and I was like, looking through it, going, oh my goodness, like every experience I had, like, I meet this job requirement. And I felt a tug. So I called him. I was like, we got these jobs. First I emailed Joe. I said, can we apply? He's like, yeah, sure. So we applied. Josh was like, what are we doing? Sure, I'll get an application together. So we applied because it was like there's this list of skills that we hadn't necessarily gained even when we were living as we should. We were kind of crazy in college and still got these skills that God gave us. So God was preparing us. I realized he was preparing us. So we went on a really exciting date to a job interview. I know many of you will appreciate a two-hour-long car ride without kids as a moment. And we were... Yeah, sure. I might be moving around too much. I could yell in my teacher voice. So the whole way home, this is crazy. And we kept going, let's put our house in the market. This is crazy. We can't do this. We can't do this. We can't do this. And we just kept, well, we can't. We can't do anything. God can do it. And so God put all the pieces together. He gave us calm when we needed calm in the midst of leaving our very special home. And so the joke's on me now. I wanted to send my kids to camp to get rid of them, and yay, we're all at camp together. but I am so excited to be doing outdoor school. The drive out here, the sunrise, God's creation, that's why I teach science, is because it's just fascinating to me that God created this universe, and I love sharing that with kids. So I'm really excited about outdoor school. Joe mentioned in the mission, it says care for their physical well-being too, and an important part of that physical well-being for those kids is connection to God's creation. So we get these kids up there, And then we got to figure out how to have extra programming to get their families up there too and get them up there for summer camp. So we got to meet them where they're at outdoor school and have programming to get them there. So I'm excited about that. And then as far as guests, you guys and other Blue Mountain churches, we're just trying to make it a peaceful experience up there, that when you are a guest up there, you can just feel the peace that comes from being at camp most of the time as a guest. But that's kind of what I'm working towards. So I'm not quite as inspirational as Josh is, but that's where I'm at. And I'm really excited to be here with you guys this morning.
God brings peace to your heart. And so this was a really, really big transition for us. But I want it to be a testimony for God, because it's awesome to have experienced that peace. So, Joe.
God's doing. I don't know what it is, but when I look at the three of us, I go, okay, God, we're here. We're here for the ride. You just tell us what to do next, and we'll do it. Because when you look at those two, and then you look at my story started here. Okay, this is just a couple years back at Camp Elkanah. Okay? And there's a little guy sitting right there. Okay? And that's me. And the cool part about this story is the feet that were my counselors, this picture wasn't in my library. My counselor from Camp Elkanah, when that was me, when he heard I got the job as the director, he stopped by my house and gave me this picture. And so that story, I mean, that just continues. You know, that was like 5 years ago. And he held on to that picture that long and brought it to me. So it's really, I mean, that story just, you don't even know. It just goes on. I had no idea when I was, you know, 5 years ago, like I said, 15, that I would be here now. But I take that and I pair it with me as a school teacher. And it's, and my desire, my passion for just building stuff and just this desire to be around people. Camp's really near and dear to my heart. From here, I got involved. We moved away. I went to school, came back, and did 15 Section Camp and East by Northeast and just all these different kind of peripheral things around camp. But then one East by Northeast, Tom Selman comes up to me and he says, Joe, I want you to be the next director for Camp Elkanah. And that was a big weekend for Karen and I, because I can remember standing there Saturday night worshiping in tears. And I look over at her and I go, Karen, if they offer me this job, you know I'm going to have to take it. And she looks back at me with even more tears and says, yeah, I know. And here we are, almost 2 years later. So just God working in that story of my life to get us all ready for this moment to go. I don't know when his timing is, but I know that it's going to be amazing when he opens the door, opens the floodgates, and just lets us loose with whatever camp programming we're going to do for him. So yes, very, very excited. But camp itself has stories. Camp tells stories every day. One of our biggest stories lately is we completed this last summer some work with a grant we got done to redo, kind of remodel our staff cabins as well as three of the camper cabins. And so outside, they got new roofs, they got new metal around the base to protect them from rocks and snow and rain. But inside is where the real transition happened, because this is now inside. New floors, new paint. We took this one. This is one of the ones on the end nearest the bathroom. And everybody that came up and looked at them said, that is an amazing transformation. This particular cabin kind of stands out as a jewel. And so we took it and we transformed it into the kind of a speaker cabin. So if somebody needs to come up and speak, or you want to get away, like Caitlin said, instead of sending the kids to camp, you could come to camp and you could stay here. It's got a mini fridge and a microwave and a coffee pot, pretty much everything you need except the bathroom. But just an amazing opportunity to partner through what we're doing with Outdoor School. That's what made this possible. The Gray Family Foundation that gave us the grant wants to improve outdoor school sites and outdoor school programming. And so through our outdoor school, we were able to receive this grant to upgrade these cabins. So those connections that we've made through outdoor school, you'll see as I go through, are just, they're starting to intertwine with the story of camp. Another, that's a, one of the cabins. Again, same roofs and siding, but new floor and new paneling on the walls. Before, it was OSB floors and OSB walls, which never looks complete unless it's your shop. And so these kids were coming up to camp, and it's OSB floors and OSB walls, and it just didn't ever look that welcoming. So now, with real flooring and paneling, beadboard paneling on the wall, they just look so inviting. And we're excited. They haven't seen any campers yet, but we're really excited to get some campers in there so they can experience this new look. They feel like brand new cabins again. So the rock wall, we've had lots of work done on it lately. And like I was saying, it's such a great ministry to get kids to the top of this. Because for them to get up there, they get up there and they're like, yes, I conquered it. And then they want to turn right around and jump back down. You're like, no, 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 look, take a second. And I'm yelling this from the bottom, like, stop and look around. You're 40 feet in the air. And look around at what you've done and take a moment to take that in. And now, step to the edge with your toes and trust the rope and all the equipment so you can lean back and go back down the wall. Sometimes I think I shouldn't tell them to wait because they're really ready to get off the wall when they get up there, but if you give them a second, then they look down and then they don't want to go. But story after story after story comes from that wall. This is a good story. This rock came through that window. Most of you know camp sits in the bottom of the valley, and there's a rock bluff right up above, and this rock came screaming down. It landed once, bounced, and then put skid marks and landed clear across the dining hall. We were in the middle of a painting the door project, and it just came right through, didn't touch a door. It was a Sunday morning. Everybody at staff was at church, so nobody was there. They came back and found this explosion in the dining hall. So, but it was right in the middle of our remodel, so the guys that were there fixed the wall. The rock now has a special place, mostly because we couldn't move it that far because it's about this big. Little stuff that makes a big difference. That was my goal this summer, was that it's the little things. And so some of you may remember the old Camp Elkanah sign on the side of the car. It got painted, and the sign never got put back up. And that was a passion of mine to get that sign back up. And so now, with the help of some volunteers, we have a brand new Camp Elkanah sign on the side. The great thing about this one is, I know, it's so great. It's okay. Somebody once told me, like, kids screaming in church is a good thing. That's not a bad thing. What does that mean if there's kids screaming in church, right? There's kids in church. It's removable. It's made out of OS, or not OSB. We don't like that. It's made out of hardy board, and so it can come off, and the cabin can be repainted, and it can go back on. It won't get painted over. Just those little things. This picture does us two things. It reminds us of what we missed from camp, but this building right here, this is the bathrooms, and I, at one point in time, I'm sure that pink with red trim was in. But those days are gone, and it's been there for quite a while, and it's every time I walk by, but now it fits with the rest of camp, the brown and tan, which is what most of our main buildings are painted. It's just clean. It's a little thing, but it makes a huge difference. New mural on the wall. The old one was peeling and faded and starting to fall off, and so that same person that was mowing lawns and watering them in the free time, they gave us a new mural. And Hobart. This story is one of those where God kind of takes you and he goes, listen to me. The first church visit I did was in Joseph, and I told the story of our old Hobart that couldn't get up to temperature to do the sanitation thing. And a couple people gave a donation towards a new Hobart. And I just kind of took them and said, great, thanks, this is awesome. They showed up in the mail back at the office, and I didn't think much of it. Well, it continued, the old Hobart continued to be a problem. And I was like, well, we'll just, when we have time, when we get the money, Well, there came a point when it was like, no, no, this is like now. And, you know, you're resisting God and resisting God. And the Hobart problem, the dishwasher problem got worse and worse. And finally, it was like, well, we got to get the money somehow. Let's try a Facebook fundraiser. So I put it out on Facebook, and I had a somebody come up and say, I'll match whatever you need, whatever you get on Facebook. And I'm like, sweet. So we did 1 week of a fundraiser on Facebook, and we doubled our goal. And we still got the matching monies. And so it was like God saying, Joe, why didn't you do this sooner? I've been telling you, wake up, I will provide. And so through that, we were able to not only replace the old dishwasher, but it is kind of an upgraded unit because it's taller and it can fit more tall stuff through at one time. So it should make the whole dishwashing process easier. And so God's like, above and beyond, Joe, above and beyond. And that's what Caitlin and Josh have experienced too, as they come up. Just camp is just this place where God says, I got it. Let me take care of it. I will show you that I'm in control and I'm writing the story. And this is the outdoor school photo. Outdoor school is such a blessing to camp because, as Caitlin was saying, we get to pour into these kids' lives and show them camp and then invite them back. And it's our hope that we can invite them back to with their families. That's one of our goals, is to get more families up at camp. Outdoor school has been a great partnership with the schools in the area and even people in our congregations that are able to come up. Steve Sharp and Kevin Pfeiffer come up and help us out. Just to able to make those relationships and those connections and use people that have the same set of beliefs and are Christians, and they're the ones that are leading these groups of these public school kids that come up. It's really awesome to watch it all come together. So it's been a great partnership. So that's just a few camp stories, but the great stories are your stories, and this is where I get excited because these are the stories that are going to take camp to the next step when you guys partner with us. We have, thanks again to Kevin for helping us out, getting our new website taken care of. It's so much easier to edit. But through that, we were able to change our support page and focus on four main pieces of support. On the left, we start with pray. And that's the core. Like if you want to support camp, just pray for us, because every day, prayer is needed at camp. Josh and I stopped one time. We were working on a project. We prayed, and then it was like it was the easiest project we'd ever worked on. We were able to literally move a backhoe with our bare hands. So it was one of those things like, okay, God, thanks for the reminder. We'll make sure we pray every day before we start a project. It's just amazing. But the easiest way to kind of know the needs is, one, our Facebook page. Caitlin's doing a great job keeping that up to date. But also the Elkanah Express, which is right here. It's a monthly kind of newsletter. If you're over about 40, it's a newsletter. If you're under 40, it's a blog. So depending on where you're at there. But it comes out, and it'll shoot you the email, and it's just kind of our musings on what's been going on at camp lately, and kind of gives you some real, somebody said it's real great prayer fodder, just to give you an idea of what's going on and kind of what we're dealing with. So that's the Elkanah Express. The other option is, the next option is serve, which is just opportunities for you to come up. We're planning for two work weekends, one in the spring, one in the fall, and not just come up and let's have free labor, but come up and let's talk about what does it mean to be a servant? What does it mean to serve? What does it mean to serve God through serving others? The next column, give, is that's not just a place for you to give money. That's other things. Somebody the other day said, I've got some hay bales, some straw bales. Can you use some straw bales? And I was like, we're going to have Christmas at camp and we want to have hay rides. You bet we can use some straw bales. So just little things like that that we may need, or big things. Josh would really like a new truck with a snowplow on the front. But so anyway, that's that column. The last one is the one I'm most excited about because I feel like it's the one God's been putting on my heart and I've been working on the longest. And as I talk to people about it, it's the one that they get the most excited about, because I relate camp funding to a rock. In the past, it's been a rock skipping across a pond. You throw the rock and it skips. And that's an event. You know, we have an event or we have a rental group and we get some funding, and that's great. But we need another one for camp to continue to fly through the air. And then we need another one. Well, a pandemic happens and you can't have any more events. And so what happens to the rock? So we don't want the rock to sink. We want the rock to keep flying. And so that's the goal of the track crew, is what we call it, the Camp Elkanah track crew, is to create this group of committed monthly donors that gives to camp and keeps us flying across the pond. Because I worry, I don't know if those two worry, but I worry a lot about how to keep them financially at camp. Because I look at the where we're at, and we haven't had events for months, and God continues to provide, and God is amazing. Because I'll start to worry, and I'll ask my bookkeeper, Melody, I'll say, Melody, do I need to worry? She'll say, no, not yet. God is good. Okay, Melody, if you're not worried, I'm not worried, but. And so the track crew is going to sustain camp so that when we have those events, that money can be reinvested back into camp and the infrastructure of camp. And we can do things like put in new pressure tanks when the old ones go out. And we can put in new pumps. And we can continue to have camp functioning at a level that we want. So we were able to partner with a high school STEM class, and they have a laser printer, and they've laser printed our track crew logo onto these, we call them tree cookies in the camp world, but they're just a slice of a cookie, and they're kind of like a coaster. And it's just a way to say thank you for joining up with the track crew. But more importantly, it's a way for you to remember that we're there and just continue to pray for us. You're drinking your coffee every morning, you put your coffee down on it, and it's just that reminder that we're there, and we're so excited to have people, and we love it when you pray for us. So I'm really excited to see where God is taking this. In the first few months, we've gone from 1% individual monthly donors of our budget to 14% of our monthly budget is now being provided by our monthly donors. And when you add that to our church support, we were like less than 15% of our monthly budget was supported by monthly supporters, and now we're over a quarter. We're over 25% now. So it's really, really exciting to see God using this program and the people that join and how excited they are to become part of something. So if you're interested in that, come see me. We've got a sign up in the back, or you can sign up online there at the website right over there on Join the Track Crew. But really, it comes down to, like I said at the beginning, your stories. And your stories are what's going to take camp into that future. No matter what your story is, just tell that story, because that's the story that gets people excited about camp. When Josh stands up here and tells you how you can feel it and how excited he is to have people back at camp, I can't convey that about Josh. That's just something he can do. And if you've been a camper at camp, or you've come up to camp and you've felt that, then share that story with people, because that's what's going to get everybody excited about coming up to camp. We really love to hear stories about camp and how God's working through people's lives in camp. But the great thing in the end is that all those stories, the author's still the same. I'm not the author of those stories. You're not the author of those stories. It's God, and he's the one that puts them all back together and uses it for his glory. Even in a pandemic, even when we don't have anybody on camp, God is still using that place to tell stories and to make an amazing place for people to come and find peace and refuge from a crazy world and just be able to experience him in a totally different way. So I'm just really excited that we get to come and share a little bit about what God's doing up at camp, and just hope that as we go down this road together, that you guys just become more and more part of that and just sharing your stories, and our stories get more and more intertwined. That's one of the greatest things we found about coming around to churches, is just continuing to build those relationships and just continuing to meet new people and hear the stories about camp and what God's done through your life at camp. Whether it's Elkanah or another camp anywhere, God uses camps in an amazing way. So thank you for giving us the opportunity to come here and just share what God's doing. So let me pray, and then Sean, come back up. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing at Camp Elkanah and just where you have positioned us. And I just pray that as we continue to be faithful to you, that we know that you will be faithful to us. And you've set camp apart as a place where you do amazing things. And I'm just thankful that we get to be a part of it. I just pray that you just bring more and more people into that family, the family of camp, and we continue to see you intertwining these stories together and as you continue to write camp story. Thank you for that, and I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.